Welcome, everybody, to Quickest Path to Cash. I'm Bert Martinez, your co-host, and with me is Jason Drone.
What's up?
Hey, man, I'm excited about what we're going to be talking about today. You guys are in for a real treat. We're going to throw down some strategies that are going to just make you see cross-eyed.
Well, it's funny because, like, these calls, we set up an hour to do these calls, and usually we're just BSing back and forth for the first 30 minutes, and I'm like, shouldn't we just turn the recorder on for this? I mean, this is good stuff, you know? It depends what we're talking about, but this one we actually did. So just to kind of pre-frame it a little bit, we're talking about cars, and cars are interesting. I mean, they're pretty bad purchases. You know, like they're not a very sound financial decision, depending on what you buy and how you buy it and how old it is and how many miles and all this other stuff. So we're you know, kind of rapping back and forth about vehicles. And I was telling them about the strategy that I read at secretentourage.com. And it's basically how to drive an exotic for free. And the whole idea of it is, let's say you go and you find a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or like a higher end Mercedes that's for, you know, about 4 or 5 years old, and they encourage only like 10,000 miles per year driven. So, you know, let's say a 4 year old Lamborghini that has 40,000 or less miles on it. And I mean, it's still going to be a pretty penny. I mean, but the thing about it is you can actually deduct, I mean, you can get the tax credit for your monthly payment. You know, if you buy it for your business and it's $1,000 a month, then you can deduct $12,000, you know, from your taxes. And when you sell it back for roughly what you paid for it, then a lot of times you're actually going to make money between the tax saving and the resale. So Bert, you know, kind of jumped in and was like, oh, I got a great strategy. So here we are.
All right. So why don't you finish the secret entourage strategy? Because so in case you guys missed it, and I just want to clarify it. So you buy this car, because you told me a little bit more about that. You buy the car. Uh-huh. You're buying this exotic used. You're also financing it
for the lowest interest rate possible for the longest amount of time possible. So, and I want to say it's like 72 months you can finance if you have good credit. Like you can do 72 months, and I don't really know what the interest rates are, but the cheapest monthly payment you can, and then so you're paying month after month, and the strategy only really works if you get a new car once a year or right around there, 9 months to 12 months. So you trade it back in and get the next car that you can deduct the next year's worth of taxes, you know, or the next year's worth of payments from. And not only are you constantly driving something new, but you are also getting all the tax benefits because of it. And you're able to trade it in and get the resale value that you close to what you paid for it.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so here's my take on that. Here's my strategy that this is the last time I bought an exotic car. And you're going to love this. First of all, this works both in good times and in bad times. But in bad times, it is explosive. And you could actually start a business this way. I honestly thought about doing a business like this, but it was just I didn't want to get into a bunch of inventory, and you'll see what I'm talking about in a second here. But this strategy is the quickest path to not buying a car cash. How's that? This is the quickest path that I know to own any kind of car you want without a down payment. Uh-huh. And that is, especially on luxury cars, this works really well with all cars, but definitely works well with luxury cars. And this is applicable to cars, planes, helicopters, luxury homes. And that is, you'll have people that are, for whatever reason, headed downward. They're on a downward trajectory because, you know, their economics have changed. And so, for instance, they might be driving a Bentley. So they're driving a Bentley, and they're willing to do anything to get rid of this Bentley. But guess what? When you have a luxury car and the economics are bad, it's tough to get rid of those luxury cars or those luxury homes or those luxury toys. It's just very difficult to do. So what we ended up doing is I ran an ad in Craigslist basically saying, hey, I will protect your credit. I'll take over your payments of the car. And in the ad, I specifically said, I'm looking for luxury vehicles and I guarantee, you know, that we, you know, rescue your credit. So that ad ran within, you know, how Craigslist works. The ad, I started like around 9 o'clock in the morning. By 10, within the hour, I had two or three people saying, hey, I'm interested in finding out more. We ended up picking up a luxury vehicle, no money, out of pocket whatsoever. We just took over the payments.
Really?
Yeah, and that was it. Now, what we do is we not only take over the payments, but you know, we put a little GPS device on there so the owner feels secure, and that's basically it. And now, this is where the business idea came into, is that is, you know, for there are people who are on an upward trajectory. Maybe they used to own luxury vehicles, and now their credit is screwed up, so they can't touch a luxury finance deal, but they would absolutely give you $5,000 or $10,000 to acquire a car under this situation. They would give you a down payment. They would take over the payments of the vehicle, and you would just broker the deal, making some quick, nice cash. And in the interim, you could drive this luxury vehicle for free, no cost out of your pocket whatsoever. So we tested this model multiple times. I have a friend of mine that I buy real estate with, and him and I really, we thoroughly tested it. I mean, we really, he went all out and he bought multiple cars this way. We kept really good records. For me, it wasn't attractive enough. It was too many, what do you call it? Parts. Balls. Yeah, too many moving parts to really get involved. I mean, you know, one of the nice things about working from home and making money online and over the phone is that lifestyle is so sexy and so fulfilling that anything else is like,
yeah.
You know, anything that is more work than that becomes too complicated. So I stepped away from it. He did it as a business for 2 years, and then he decided to sell off that and just focus on real estate. But bottom line is, that's how you can buy a car, even a luxury home, even a jet plane with no money. Because when you are broke and you are tight on money, you will take a chance on letting somebody else take over your payments versus screwing up your credit or having a repo on there. Mm-hmm. And as long as you can make the seller feel comfortable, they'll give you that car.
It's interesting. So how do you, assuming that, how do you get the payments into your name, or how do you get the car into your name?
Oh, great. So great question. So you do sign a bill of sale.
Okay.
Enumerating the transaction. In that sale, it talks about everything, including, you know, that, hey, at the end of 2 years or at the end of, you know, X amount of time, you know, you will pay off the car and the title will then transfer, or you can give the car back to the original seller and he can do whatever he wants with it. So if you're just looking to drive a vehicle for a year and you don't want to take a lot of money out of your, you know, you don't want a down payment issue. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to worry about your credit being dinged. You don't want a down payment. This is a great strategy. If you're, and it also works if you want to, let's say, get into a car and maybe in 6 months or maybe in a year buy it and pay it off, you can do that as well. So that's how you do it. You write up a contract. So therefore you have legal possession of the car,
then you pay the previous owner's bill.
Yes.
And then once after a year or after, you know, when the car is paid off, then he is legally obligated to transfer the title to you.
Yes.
I got it. All right. So there's no transaction to the bank or any of that. Like, all it is you're making his payment and driving his car.
That's it. You got it. You hit the nail right on the head. And it's a win-win. It's a win for you, the new driver, because you didn't have to come up with a a down payment, your mm-hmm. credit isn't involved. The nice thing about it is if you get tired of the car or if you decide that you can no longer afford it, you just give it back to them.
Yeah.
And there's no repo. There's no negative reporting on your credit. The win for the seller is that
they don't have to pay for it anymore.
Yeah. He keeps his credit and he doesn't have to pay for it.
It's interesting. So in real estate, it would technically work the same way.
Yes.
So you would get the house, make his payment for him, and then plus any property insurance and all that other stuff, I would imagine. Taxes, you know, all of that stuff. And then you would just sign a bill of sale. It would actually, so it's technically probably more like a land contract or something at that point.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And so it is a, it's just a neat way, again, of taking possession of a home, a boat, a car.
That you can afford, but you might not be able to get.
Right. And it's, but I tell you what, and it's better than renting because it's not as expensive as renting. And so you just, you know, what do you call it? You're not really sure. You're not really sure. You know, that maybe you want to commit, you know, maybe you don't want to buy that car. You maybe just drive it for 6 months and you decide, hey, you know what? I want to buy it. So you do. Or maybe you decide, you know what? I don't want to buy it.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So, yeah. So that works really well. It allows you so much flexibility.
As long as you can find the other person.
And there, yeah, I'm telling you. And here's the great thing about it. You can put an ad into Craigslist and you'll see how many people respond, how many people want that relief, and it'll blow you away. The the other thing is, again, you can do this for yourself. You can use this just as a business. If you're looking for a new business that allow you to interact with high net worth people and play around with toys.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's really interesting. I know a lot of the guys at Secret Entourage, they have different high-end specialty kind of they do the same thing with watches, like, you know, Rolexes and some of the more expensive watches out there, cars, planes. It's interesting. It's just an interesting model.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and here's the deal. Here's the, you know, what I want everybody to think about. What would you do if you couldn't do it with a bank, if you didn't have a down payment?
Well, and that's
become
that's
creative.
That's a very real thing, you know, because as business owners, I mean, we screw up our credit something fierce. I did, you know, like
what's credit?
Yeah, like it's not a fun thing, especially, I mean, when you're bootstrapping something, it's not a safe bet, you know. So I know for the longest time, I mean, just to get into the house that I'm in now, I mean, I had to jump through all kinds of hoops. I mean, just because, you know, it was. Just my credit was better, but it was shot, you know, like, but and it's such a long process. I mean, we could afford the house by all, you know, without question, right. But just from a credit standpoint, when they're looking back into history and they say, well, you know, you had all this stuff going on. It's like, yeah, you know, business wasn't good back then. I mean, that was like a lifetime ago, but in all reality, it was 3 years, you know?
Right. Well, you know what? And let me tell you something else. This strategy, speaking of business, applies for businesses as well. Let me, back in the day when I used to do mergers and acquisitions, I literally took over 10 stores. It was a retail store. It was a art store that was hurting. And this, you know, you have to have the whole thing hinges on having the right kind of seller. So you're going to love this story. So, and this goes back to what you were talking about, how as entrepreneurs, we wreck our credit. So this guy was hurting really bad. He had 10 stores, didn't know anything about marketing. I was just like very impressed that he got up to 10 stores, but he had 10 stores. And him and his wife were exhausted. Their credit was shot. They weren't making any money. They were just anything to get rid of the business. I literally convinced them to pay me $25,000. Pay me $25,000 to take over their 10 stores.
Wow.
And at first they said, no way. Why would we pay you to take over our stores? They said, well, because you're losing $50,000 a month now.
Yeah.
You're going to pay me 25 grand and you'll never lose any more money. So they thought about it for a week. They came back and they did the deal. I took over 10 stores. They paid me to take over 10 stores. And what we did with those 10 stores is we shut down 5 of them. We got out of the leases, and I used their money to break up these leases. We consolidated the 10 stores into 5, rebranded them, and we were able to sell them. And quickly, it was just one of those things where we got lucky, ended up making $120,000 on the deal. It took 3 months.
Wow. Yeah.
But what I was going to say, you know, so it's not important that I'd made 120 grand. I mean, it is, but that wasn't the whole point. The point of the story is you can take over a business for free.
Yeah. There was actually, I've had a couple talks like that, you know, where you end up going in and saying, okay, you're trying to sell this business. What is it? What are the assets associated? You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And then when you get into the numbers, you can negotiate a monthly deal that is less than what you would be paying for the business. And then you technically get the business for free. You know what I mean? Because the owner just wants out of it. So there was actually one deal. It was a brick and mortar place. We didn't end up going through. But, you know, the way the negotiation was headed, the business was making about $10,000 a month. She wanted $60,000 for it, which means, you know, and I told her, I was like, we could do, you know, 12 payments of $5,000. You just want out. Like, you just want to be done. So, you know, and that was my plan. Like, just take the $5,000 from revenue. $5,000 of the $10,000 from revenue, all things remain constant, and buy the business from her.
Right.
You know?
It self-funds.
Yeah, exactly. It self-funds. But just in terms of – we didn't end up moving through with it because in terms of day-to-day operation, I wasn't going to be the one running the store. So
– Well, you know what? And I'm glad you said that. I mean, right there, let's talk about that. You have – you know, doing these deals are fun, but you have to have an infrastructure to handle it.
Yeah.
And what happens, guys, let me tell you one of the myths that a lot of people fall into, and that is, you know, hey, I know that this business can make a lot more money if it had a different person running it. Hey, you know what? We would make a lot of money if we just did X or Y. Well, let me tell you, it's not about X or Y. There's a couple of – there's probably, a, you know – 20 or 30 or 100 different reasons why they're not making money. Yes, they're exhausted. Yes, they're overwhelmed. Maybe they don't know what they're doing with their marketing. Maybe they – and this is typically the problem. They typically don't have the right people doing the right things to make that business grow, and therefore no matter what you do, it's going to fail. They don't have the follow-up systems. They don't have the the marketing in place to handle the leads that come in. They don't do any follow-up, all that other stuff. But my point being is, so yes, you can buy just about any business for free, because I don't care if it's got $1 million worth of equipment. If it's not producing money, it has, to me, no value.
Right.
So back to what I said earlier, it really depends on the seller. And just like Jason's example, they couldn't put a deal together because he realized, well, I'm not going to run it. So you have to have all these things into place to really make these things work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's terrible to get into something and then not run it correctly, and all you've done is trade that person's bad position
for your bad position.
Yeah, for your better. Yeah. And it's, you know, so even though you can do these things, I want to caution everybody, you have to have people in place that can help you monetize this stuff. Now, another way of monetizing it is, and this was one of the things that we did with the 10 stores, we consolidated a bunch of stuff, and then we sold off a ridiculous amount of things. Now, by the way, and something I forgot about this art store deal, they owed $100,000 to the IRS. Mm-hmm. I remember this now. And that was one of the big motivators for them. So they paid me $25,000. We did some wheeling and dealing, broke some leases. And then we contacted the IRS on their behalf. That was part of the deal. And we convinced the IRS to take $100,000 worth of artwork from the stores to pay off the debt.
Really?
Yes. And you're going to love this. So like 3 or 4 months later, we're at an auction. And unbeknownst to us, it was an IRS auction. And there is our artwork and our some of the equipment that we had given to the IRS. And they were selling it off for, you know, pennies on the dollars. But, you know, just it's to show you, everybody negotiates, including the IRS, and you just have to have the right person in front of you, and you can make wonderful things happen.
Wow. That's incredible.
You know what? It blew me away. And that also, and by the way, I want to give props to my mentor at that time, a gentleman named Alan, and Alan really was one of those things, and once in a lifetime guy that I met by accident, and he taught me a lot about real estate, about negotiations, and about being ridiculous with your offers. You never know what happens. You make some ridiculous offer, and maybe they only meet you halfway, and you still win.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can do. And it all comes down to asking. It really does.
The art in the IRS is a whole new level of wow. Like, well, because I'm – like, I think I'm a pretty good negotiator. And, you know, but I – looking back, all the negotiations I've ever made were safe. I mean, I've never, you know, thought of going to the IRS and saying, here's $100,000 worth of art.
Right. Like, but you know what? And I would have never thought of doing that either. That, again, that all goes to Alan. And, but you know what? So he made that happen. And and this is one of the things that I have learned, because and we're going to get into some of this stuff later on in the show. You know, there is this thing called perception.
Uh-huh.
So if I give you a piece of art and, you know, you're going to get this piece of art and you go, wow, this is great, whatever. But now I give you a piece of art, and with it is a certificate of
authenticity?
Authenticity, but it's beyond that. It's a certificate of appraisal.
Oh, right.
So I'm giving you this piece of art. It has a certain meaning. I give you a piece of art with the certificate of appraisal that says, hey, this piece of art is worth, you know, $500. It's a game changer.
Yeah.
This little simple document, which has no real authority,
yeah,
other than the written word, on a nicely printed certificate, caused the IRS to accept our offer, because all of our paper, all of the art had a certificate of valuation of appraisal.
That makes sense. It's interesting, because I, like, when I was younger, I used to collect autographed baseball cards. You know, so the traditional autograph, like, kind of market, when somebody writes, you know, when somebody signs a card, then the value goes down because you're defacing a card, unless it has a certificate of authenticity, you know, which then the price goes back up. So, you know, if you have somebody who signs a card and you want to try to sell it after the fact, you need to have the certificate, or else it's not going to sell. Unless it's like somebody's absolute favorite card, you know what I mean? Favorite player.
Right.
But to have, like, I probably have 100, 150 baseball, basketball, football cards signed by coaches and players and all kinds of crazy stuff from when I was like 11. And, they're all, I mean, they're worthless, you know, because there was never a certificate associated with them. It was all either through the mail or in person or whatever, you know? And, it's just interesting. You're right. The perception of it is altogether different when it comes with a little piece of paper.
Right. And let me tell you, that little piece of paper, the reason it changes our perception of value is because we have been accustomed, we have been trained that it has, if it has a certificate, it has a certain new value to it. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean anything. I can, you know what? I can go to Fiverr, hire somebody to create a nice, authentic, beautiful, shiny certificate, right? I can now go to a printer who will print it, and it may cost me $10 or $20 to make this beautiful certificate, but now because of the certificate, the value goes, you know, 10, 20, 100 times higher. That's just what we're trained to do.
It's interesting. Very, very cool. Well, I think we're out of time, and I think on the next show we're going to talk about real estate, right?
We're going to talk about real estate, some neat real estate strategies, and I think also we're going to get into, in a couple of weeks, talk about networking, yep. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks, but I hope that you guys have enjoyed this QPC. And real quick, the quickest path to cash strategy in this scenario is ask for the ridiculous. Be creative with your funding. Pretend that you don't have the money to make a down payment. That's just not even an option. So it makes you go creative. Ask for the ridiculous and keep asking till you find the right buyer. I'm sorry, the right seller. You have to have a motivated seller. And let me tell you, a motivated seller is a sexy, sexy thing.
I like it. All right. Thanks so much. And we'll talk soon.
All right. Everybody have a good weekend. Talk to you later.
See ya.